what is it contributing? Like, what is it? What is actually happening when we say ethical sourcing? Okay, if it is ethically sourced, that means it has contributed somehow to the better livelihoods of those producers that we buy coffee from.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some companies that are doing exactly that, and I appreciate them for it, but the majority
enough.
Of the coffee we export is commercial, and the majority in the trade platform is commercial. Like conventional coffee, yeah? Not every coffee is a specialty, let alone in Ethiopia. Almost like 80% of coffee producing countries are exporting the conventional coffee, not premium, not specialty. So how are we going to compensate the producers then?
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with Sara Yorga from Ya Coffee, coffee roasting in Ethiopia. Sara, we are talking this series about the sustainability of coffee in Ethiopia. And in this episode, we're talking about the longevity of kind of the how are we going to ensure longevity for producers? So in the last episode, we talked about who the stakeholders are, and the primary stakeholder you said was producers. How are we going to ensure the longevity, or how is Ethiopia ensuring the longevity of producers?
Thank you, Leah, again. Sustainability, the biggest elephant these days, yeah?
It is, right?
In the coffee industry, yeah. We had that conversation during AFCA in Addis.
Okay.
Last February. Our good friend, Vanessa from ICO,
mm-hmm.
She just concluded it. If there is no coffee, there is no business, there is no money, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's why they are the biggest stakeholders for me, the producers. So it is a vast, vast topic, but I'll just point out a few places to just give you an idea, or maybe if it helps. This is how I see it. Let's give them what they deserve.
I love
Let's
that idea.
Let's stop pushing prices down in the name of quality assurance, in the name of whatever, you know, labels we give. Let them get what they deserve. Why would they want to stay in coffee if it is not giving back, if it is not, if their lives are not improving, if they cannot send their kids to school, if they cannot have, you know, if they need health access to, you know, medication, if they need access to clean water, if they don't have those basic needs, if they are still not wearing decent shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the saddest part when you go to producing communities. If they don't know how to keep their hygiene, if they don't have access to clean water, let alone to wash, to drink, if they don't have infrastructure, like power, that could make life easy for the woman also to cook. If they don't have schools, that's why we have kids running around in the streets of Addis, because the family could not sustain a decent livelihood with basic needs fulfilled. So let's give them what they deserve.
How do we do that? How do we do that? Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Okay. At least who knows how much it costs this producer to bring the coffee to the market or to the suppliers. Why are they not compensated accordingly? Why are we not transparent about the money we make out of a cup of coffee here in Addis? Forget the rest of the world.
Right.
How much percent of that goes to the producer? That applies to everyone, including myself.
So
how we're going to do it in, yeah.
It's okay. Let me ask you something there, if it's okay. Because I do a lot of consulting work with people who own small businesses. And they're eternally frustrated by the fact that this comparison that you're making between what the producer earns and what they sell a cup of coffee for, there's a disconnect there. And the challenge there is that people who own cafes, at least in the West, are not making very much money at all. The profit margins that they're looking at are 3%. And that's because the people who are really making the money in the supply chain are the banks, the landlords, and the equipment manufacturing companies. No one who's actually touching the coffee and is a custodian of the coffee is actually making the majority of the money. They're making maybe cents extra from along the supply chain. But then when it hits the cafe, the problem is that the cafe and the roastery spend so much money on labor, on rent, equipment, that they exist to employ people and to pay those other institutions. And so it's not as though the cafe owner is actually making the money. And in order for us to be charging what would be enough so that we can then pay the producer, let's say we end up paying the producer, the cafe owner is still not getting paid. So it's not like we have to just pay enough to pay the producer, because by the time the money gets back to the producer, everyone in between has taken their cut as well. So the producer ends up with next to nothing. And then the producer is left with next to nothing, and the cafe owner is still left with next to nothing. I think this is a deeper problem.
Absolutely. It's a deeper problem. Look, I am in the cafe business, and I know because I have the whole supply chain, let's say, I cannot buy for local consumption directly from producers, except unless it is for export. Okay. But I know for at least what I can do in terms of contribution is, okay, is it the quality that is getting them paid lesser than they deserve? Then let's improve the quality. But as I agree with what you just said, but there are also stakeholders in between.
Right.
That are making money. If you add up from farm, let's say before the cup,
right,
to the roasted coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. If you add all those value chain costs, it starts going higher after it leaves the producers immediately. So, okay, the suppliers, they might be taxed for, transporting the coffee and the logistics, and there might be taxes that apply from farm to the collection center.
Yep.
There might be taxes that apply from collection center to the export center, depending on where these are located. But at the same time, once it leaves the suppliers, it starts going up. The exporters and traders and trader agents, how do they calculate their margin? It's from volume, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They make the...
It's all volume. Yeah.
But why is it difficult to give back? Yesterday, the same conversation was in the room where I was yesterday on the symposium. And why is it difficult to calculate cost of production?
Right.
They're selling it anyways, yeah. Cost of production and a little margin to the producers, because whatever they're receiving is not even covering their cost of production, let alone their 1 year, to survive 1 year.
Right.
Having enough food, enough of everything. So as a cafe owner, yes, I understand the pain. You have to hire people, the cost of running a cafe, whatever that is. But me as an individual, I can tell you this. I take it upon myself that I should give back by way of my time. I just go and give trainings because I have the skills, okay? But not everyone could do this, but mm-hmm. they might, you know, also this ethical sourcing, fair trade, conversation. What is it contributing? Like, what is it actual? What is actually happening when we say ethical sourcing? Okay, if it is ethically sourced, that means it has contributed somehow to the better livelihoods of those producers that we buy coffee from.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some companies that are doing exactly that, and I appreciate them for it. But the majority
enough. Of
the coffee we export is commercial, and the majority in the trade platform is commercial, like conventional coffee. Yeah?
Mm.
Not every coffee is a specialty, let alone in Ethiopia. Almost like 80% of coffee producing countries are exporting the conventional coffee, not premium, not specialty. So how are we going to compensate the producers then? So I see a disconnect again.
Yeah.
Okay, the producers did not stop producing, but the money is not being channeled in a just way. Like, how are we going to change that? For me, improving quality is one of them. So whatever opportunity I get, I just go connect with producers and work towards improving the quality of their coffee so that they get at least a certain premium to the price they get. With my husband, that's what we did in some areas. Like, I'm not going to call names, but mm-hmm. we constructed drying beds so that they can dry their coffee. Like, they mm-hmm. don't have to give it to suppliers. So once it is dry, even the price goes up. Then if they have a hauling machine, even a manual hauling machine, they can, you know, supply the green coffee and get a little bit margin out of that, because we know the price of coffee locally is higher than the price of export coffee. So that's one area where we can consider, but is everyone going to be interested in giving back in such a way? I'm not sure.
Mm.
But also, not only cafe businesses, but traders, roasters, big coffee companies should really look into how they are giving back into the producing community, or otherwise sustainability is going to be an issue. Another topic that's close to my heart is almost 70 and up percent is done by women. The work from seedling production to the market, when you go to the market part, all the way, the higher value chain, the contribution of women goes down
mm.
because that, you know,
that's where
there
all the money is
involved there. And where the money is, there is power.
Yep.
So you have the money, you have the power to decide. You have the power to say, I want this, I don't want that. So unless the world of coffee starts to really, really, like, apart from, you know, talking about issues that are not productive. For me, what's productive will be, like, I was saying this to you earlier, let's start walking the talk. We've been doing a lot of talking for the past many years.
Decades.
I'm having this fatigue. But, you know, it's becoming irrelevant now. If we start doing the work, maybe in a few years, we'll change. We'll see some change. Otherwise, if you give me the chance to talk about challenges, I will go on and on and on. It will be 2030 before I finish.
Mm.
So, but let's talk about solutions. Why are we not engaging women? Because they cannot leave their family,
mm-hmm.
travel, to have access to skills, to have access to information, to have access to finance.
Mm-hmm.
They're not credit worthy because they don't maybe own property. They might need approval from their partners, which is okay because that's the financial regulation everywhere. That's what I learned today. In other parts also, you need approval from your partner. Your partner has to sign for you to get credit. But regardless, this is what we found out. 61% of the women producers we talked to during our study to Women in Coffee, they want access to finance. They need access to finance to grow their coffee production and their market. But only 41% of them have access, like there is a credit union or some financial institution around their area. And only 11% of them were took advantage of that because for fear of, you know, losing their collateral if it is the land or whatever, or fear of failure, for fear of, you know, what would happen if I took this loan and I finished the money up with my basic needs. Then the business doesn't grow to pay back. See? So it is so complex. We can go on and on what we should do to make coffee sustainable, to talk about longevity. It is, I don't know how to wrap this up, but if we start taking little steps, baby steps towards changing how we do business, how we look at contributions. You know, every time we talk about contributions or doing something relevant, we directly go to the financial side of support or but no, I would say if you are in coffee business and you have the resources, technical resources, equipment resources that you don't use anymore, you can ship them to one producing community. Technical resources, you can connect, let's say, with, it's not only at producing level, women who do export. When we started Women in Coffee 8 years ago, they have no idea what, including myself, we have no idea what we were talking about when we talk about Ethiopian coffee. It's the best. What's best about Ethiopian coffee? What does your coffee taste like? Okay, what is its flavor profile? You know, how are you going to communicate this with your buyer? How are you going to communicate, like, what does a business email look like? How do you do market intelligence? How do you find market?
Wow.
How do you convince? How do you trust your, you know, how do you build trust? All that we had to learn, let alone the ones at farm level. We have to take this to them. For me, it's about, you know, learning so that I can give back. And I hope at least.
I'm so grateful that you've shared that because, I definitely want to have a conversation with you off air about how I can contribute to that, what kind of online workshops I can do to help. And I can talk to some of my friends that are also doing education that specialize in things and see how we can contribute our time to help to ensure their longevity. You know, it's not like a savior complex or anything like that. It's like we have some knowledge that we can share with you.
Yeah.
And so why not? Like, I think this is something that we can all do to contribute to the long-term sustainability of Ethiopian producers. Yeah. And we will have that conversation off air. And folks, if anybody out there is interested in doing the same, check the show notes and get in contact with either us or with Sada, and I'm sure that we can make something happen. Now, our conversation next in the next episode is going to go to the role of women in coffee in Ethiopia. So join us for that, folks. This is going to be an interesting one. We are recording this on International Women's Day, so that will be fun. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon, and stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.